T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Earlier, Tony Caligiuri told us a story. I was really impressed that he was so upfront and honest about this, but you had played a celebrity softball game, and you crushed a ball into left center. And as you were rounding, first you had a little gas as you every step of the way.
Yeah, from the time
so
I
we
took
actually
off.
Hold on. We actually have the video of this occurring, but there's no commentary on it. So let's watch this together. Can you run? Okay, so here's the video. We're playing the video of Tony Caligiuri. There is the ball. There he is on his way to first, making his way to second. He's going to slide into second base, Tony Danza style. And he's safe. There it is. All right, that's enough. But no, Tony taking the dust off his uniform and then popping a charcoal pill. Which I thought was, no, but you know, here's the thing, truthfully, when you get to that age, we're talking about age and your job and everything, there really isn't, like in radio, right? Sandy Beach, at his age, is he the same Sandy Beach when he's 35? No one's the same that when you're 35, right? We're different when we're younger, but that doesn't mean you can't do the job. There are different jobs you can do where you could be 85 years old. Pilot's not one of them. Would you feel comfortable with an 85-year-old pilot?
Not really, no.
I mean, seriously. You know those World War II planes? There was this really rich guy in California that restored World War II planes, and he flew them at 90 years old to Hawaii and back. And he was like, you got to go on a B-50. Then not a chance in hell. I'm going on with a 90-year-old man in a World War II refurbished plane.
No. Well, he went back. He made it there and back. I'd feel safe.
Whatever. I mean, look at these old cars. That's one thing. But when you're driving a car with like 600 horsepower, I don't want a 90-year-old man behind the wheel of that.
No.
Seriously, that's a lot of torque. You could drive in. Look what happened with the kid with the Porsche, the actor from Fast and Furious. That's a situation where that was too much car for him. The driver of that car could not handle that Porsche. It was a souped-up Porsche. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly.
And Walker, what was his name?
Yeah, it was Walker.
Texas Ranger?
No, not that one.
No, it was Walker, the handsome
kid. But
that
car may have had some issues from what I've read.
I'm just saying, at any age, that's enough car. You know what I mean? There's a brand new, I think it's a Lamborghini. And Lamborghini is making you could only drive it on a racetrack. And in order to
there's
buy
there's a couple
this,
cars that you could only do
you
that.
You can only do it.
Right.
And for $2 million, you have this car. You have to go to a class to learn how to drive it.
Right.
Because they're not going to sell it to you unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah, they're supercars.
Supercars.
They cost a few bucks.
Doesn't matter if you're 70 or 80 years old. You wouldn't be able to do that.
Paul Walker.
But again, Tony, no offense. I don't know what kind of driver you are. But no,
pretty
I'm just
decent.
Saying. No, but I'm just saying, if I put you in a high-performance vehicle that you don't know how to drive, at 40 years old, it's a difficult thing to do. I mean, people talk about NASCAR not being athletic. Those guys behind the wheel, there's a lot of muscle that it takes sometimes to move that car around.
That's a lot of concentration.
Endurance.
Yes.
You know, you can't be NyQuil driving. Have you ever been on the thruway and seen those Winnebagos at 2 in the morning? There's always a 70-year-old person behind the wheel. That scares the hell out of me. Of all the driving, everyone talks about truck drivers, right? Oh, Canadian truck drivers. I am not, there's never been a time in a snowstorm. I see a truck, I'm like, thank God, I'm getting behind that truck. That guy knows what he's doing. Never had a bad experience with a truck driver. Winnebagos are the scariest thing on the road, especially at like 2 in the morning.
Winnebagos and people that are pulling those little U-Haul trailers.
They're dangerous.
when I'm driving back from Virginia Tech
games. I got
to just
ask people, what is, in your opinion, gentle listener, 803-0930, the most dangerous thing to drive behind, in my opinion, if this was Family Feud? The number one answer would be Winnebagoes. U-Hauls?
Yeah, U-Hauls, Winnebagoes.
Those guys, and they fall asleep. It's like 3 in the morning. They're driving from Nebraska. We're not literally playing Family Feud. Oh. I'm just saying. But Winnebagoes, trailers, what were you saying, Joe?
The trailers, when I'm coming home from Virginia Tech games, 2-3 in the morning, and you have to pass them. Because anyone that has one of those U-Haul trailers at the back of their Honda Civic is going 40 on 79, and you try to pass them, and they're swerving all over the road. And that trailer swerves 10 times more than the car swerves.
And then you get any sort of snow, rain, sleet, anything. And you're from out of state, and you don't know what's going on in Western New York. You are all over the place. It's always those guys that sideswipe you. You know what I mean? But I saw a car on the New York State Thruway a couple days ago, and this guy had like 6 bicycles attached to the back of... I came in on a Sunday. It was last week. And he had like 6 bicycles attached to the back of his car, and it was like, you can't see anything. It was like literally a Decepticon was on the back of his car. It looked like a Transformer. There's no way this guy has any, and he's got 2 wheels on the side past the wheel well. I mean, this thing needed a flag on it and a vehicle with a light behind it.
Well,
all those guys, like big.
I'll admit to you, like one of my other jobs, I used to drive Penske trucks. You know, those big yellow, the biggest one you could drive without a CDL. And I'll tell you, I safely can't drive one, and I would never get anywhere near one on the road just because it is so difficult to see behind you because all you have are those side mirrors. Now, you see a semi, like you said, it's someone professional driving, but one of those rented trucks, I just don't trust.
When we took civilian truck drivers to Iraq, that's when everything changed because you've got, 88 mics that are Army truck drivers. And they have rules and they have conditions and there's rules of engagement, things they could do with their truck. They're not afraid of nothing, those truck drivers. They're the best. But when you get professional truck drivers into a combat situation, nothing is in their way. You stand in the road and you want to be a fool and you got a rocket launcher, those civilians put the pedal to the metal, double clutch, shifted, and just went through anything. I was blown away by that. It was like, civilian truck drivers in a combat situation is one of the most insane. It's ice road trucking on steroids because those guys are just. Could you drive a truck?
I can drive anything.
No. Double
yes,
clutch?
I could learn on a semi. That wouldn't be a big problem. Driven every, up to that size.
Do you find that you drive better higher up or lower to the ground?
I like being higher up. That's why I like the SUV now.
You feel it a little bit more when you're low.
I think
you
get better vision too.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the problem. When you're too elevated, sometimes you get a little too cocky and you. But I'm saying if I see older, and I hate to say this, but it is older, like over 70, in a Winnebago at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're coming from a place far, far away in a galaxy far from this land. You're up all night. And you're weaving in and out of the road. And those things, I mean, we heard about the bus accident with the comedian there.
Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan, right? In the back of a limo bus, there's not any concern. You're in a Winnebago, you're watching TV, you're on a touring bus. You're not thinking anything. And you don't have no way really to brace for what's about to happen. If those things flip or turn over... That's a really tough thing to survive.
And you said it best. You see those people 2-3 in the morning. They've been up all day. They're reaching for their coffee. They're reaching for their Monster energy drink. You see one of those. It's best yet, get on an exit and just take the parallel highway.
I'm telling you, you know how truckers have to carry a log? Do you think civilians should have to carry a log?
Yes.
You can't drive from... What's the longest you've driven in one stretch? Hours.
I don't remember how many hours, but we drove from Las Vegas to Buffalo almost nonstop.
Seriously?
12 yeah, and a half with no stop.
A friend of mine.
Now, the truck driver can only do how many hours?
I'm not sure.
I think it's 12.
So you're saying that anything over 12 is too much for a civilian to drive at one time?
I'd say even 12 for most civilians. I drove from Buffalo to Charlotte without stopping.
Do you think you
stopping.
Drove over 12 hours?
Not now.
Today.
You wouldn't do it.
No, I'd fall asleep.
No, seriously. Those strips on the thruway have saved thousands of lives. Absolutely. Before that, in the old days, that noise you heard was the side rail. I mean, you went off the road. You didn't even know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's waking people up and everything. You know, the cars now, the smart cars, the new cars have reminders that you're out of your lane and different things like that. There's a system that you can wear in your head, and when your chin goes down, it alerts you that you're falling asleep or you're moving your head or doing whatever.
That's why technology might be the death of us, because we don't want to be too dependent on our cars where we're going to let ourselves kind of doze off.
I'm telling you that if you made a requirement for people to stop driving at a certain age because of their age, we're talking about Joe Biden being 77, being president. But when you talk about people and limiting to them to drive, these smart cars that are driving themselves, right? Once we get the confidence that that's, you know, we're seeing them on the road already, people passed out in their Teslas and they're going to work. In California, they are unconscious and they are going to work without even, you know, that's auto drive. How could you tell a 95-year-old person you can't auto drive your Tesla? In the event that they have to drive the car, right? But what if the technology exists where they don't have to even touch the steering wheel?
Well, what we've learned about technology is you're going to have to be competent enough to take over the car if something happens. That is always going to be an issue, no matter how good the technology
is. I don't think they're selling those auto-drive cars for that at all. You're absolutely right, by the way, what you just said. I'm not arguing with that. But these new technological... Tony's a car nut. The new technology that's out there is basically you hit a button, you parallel park your car, right?
I mean, I'm fine with that because I can't parallel park.
But what I'm saying is that if you went on a driving test and parallel parked your car by hitting a button, they would tell you to go to hell.
Right, and exactly.
Should.
Because you don't know how to do it.
Right.
Right? But if you're auto-driving your car and it's like, Tony, you're 99, you shouldn't be behind the wheel of the car. It's an auto-drive car. Why do I have to learn how to do anything?
Exactly, because something could happen. Just Absolutely. Like anything else with technology. You wouldn't get on a plane if Delta said, hey, these are our new, they self-flying plane. This guy, he hasn't flown in 12 years, but he's going to be the guy to take over if anything happens. Truckers, you wouldn't get on that plane.
Truckers can drive 8 hours at the most, and then they have to take a rest, according to this texter.
I was 4 hours off.
But I mean, if you're driving from Vegas to Buffalo, that's what, 3 days? If you took normal rest?
Yeah.
That's a huge...
We might have gone over the speed limit.
How much over the speed limit?
Do you remember that?
Well, let's just put it this way. The car wound up in the junkyard by the time we were done.
Well, that has to... Yeah, you'll blow a transmission. But do you remember when Montana changed the speed limit to prudent?
No.
So Montana in the late 90s said no speed limit through our state. It just what you think is appropriate. And you would drive down these winding roads, no guardrails, elevation, and you would just see like a brand new Corvette just in a rock. Like, there would just be a sports car sticking out of a wood line. You don't know what happened. It's not fresh. It didn't just happen. But their cars are just there.
Most people drive at a speed that they're comfortable at. Some people, it's 40, 45. Others may be 65.
Unfortunately, those that drive 45 think getting on the 90 where it's 65 is appropriate.
Let's go to the phones, 803-0930. Robin, a cell phone. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, with truck drivers, you have 8 hours, then you have to take a 30-minute break. You're allowed 11 hours total of driving in a 14-hour period. Then you have to take a mandatory 10 hours, and then there's a bunch of sub-regulations where you can do splits.
Do you think that's limiting you, or is that something that is safe and you agree with it?
To an extent, yes. To an extent, I think they have a little too much limit. I think 12 hours would be... fine, as long as you stick with your 14-hour rule, 10-hour break, maybe 2 half-hour breaks.
Tony drove for 20 hours at 105 miles an hour. No, but when you are a civilian, shouldn't you have the same rules as professional truck drivers? I mean, especially like with those Winnebagos. You've seen them, Rob, on the road at like 2 in the morning. Those guys are falling asleep all the time.
Worse.
What's that?
I said it seems lately drivers are getting worse.
Right. But I mean, people that are falling asleep, like, you know, people talking about age and age limits to drivers, but there's also the size of what you're driving. And if you have a big trailer, I don't want that person on the road for 20 hours.
No.
No. All right. Well, Rob, I appreciate your call. Thank you. Let's go to Fred. Fred, what's on your mind, sir?
Hi. I used to drive between Buffalo and Albuquerque. Where I live now, and
yeah, what happened?
I remember passing a double length Out here it's legal. I don't know if it is back
then. A double length what? A tractor trailer?
The big rigs, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, two. Anyway, I get halfway passing this guy,
right.
And it starts going side to side.
Ah, that's scary. That's not fun.
In the grass with my car upside down.
Ah, obviously you made it. Any injuries?
Pardon?
Were you hurt?
I wasn't hurt, thank goodness.
All right, that's great. Good to hear. Frank, thanks for your call. Or Fred, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. That's always horrible, though. No, seriously, when you see something, especially in a high wind, you start seeing that little... I would think of all the things to happen to me on a car... There was a time on 33 that I hit black ice, and I swear I was in a skid for like 2 miles. And it was just one of those things where I was just guiding the thing, honking the horn, sliding through Corfu. Still got a ticket, which is ironic, but no. I was sliding through Corfu. It was horrible. But one of the things I would just be really scared of is if I was a tractor trailer driver and a jackknife situation, that has got to be the most just powerless, you know, what can you, I mean, obviously you do what you can to avoid that. But could you imagine seeing your rig on the side? That's just got to be like, what a bad first day.
It's got to be something about the 33. On the way to a Sabres-Oilers game, I was on the 33 Expressway, hit black ice, and like you said, it was almost 2 miles. I went from the 198 curve there all the way to, I think, Best Street, and my 98 Altima somehow did not hit. And we're talking heavy traffic going to a Sabres game, and to this day, I have no idea how I didn't even hit the guardrail.
Is there a specific road in Western New York, though, that you see when it comes to weather, it's just the worst road ever? It seems like the 219... Because of where, not the condition of the road, but just where the road is.
400 as well.
400, 219, yeah. The snow belt, right? But there are sections of road that just by the elevation, like in Wyoming County, there are sections of road that in the wintertime, that is a very tough. If you get to work early and you miss the snow plow, it speaks volumes for the guys who do the plow, the guys and girls who do the plowing in some of these rural counties. But the fact is that if you get up early and you don't have four-wheel drive, you are in for an adventure, and it's not fun. I mean, you can hit some elevation and some slick conditions, and you're done. But that's why like that Tesla auto drive thing is frightening. I mean, it might work on the straightaways, but someone's going to try that on a back road and end up in a tree making...
I believe they've had a lot of problems with that and some instances of accidents.
They're hitting
car.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is that, you know, okay, well, it hit a blind spot. Well, yeah, the people on bicycles that don't see you or you don't see them. I mean, bicyclists, for the most part, are probably more aware of their conditions than you are in your car. And they assume that you see them, they see you, and people get hurt constantly.
Oh, I got to have my motorcycle. Guy didn't see me, made a right-hand turn. I was in the right lane. He's from the left, came in, and that's it.
You're lucky to be alive.
Oh, I am lucky.
Motorcycles are not fun. We took a little detour there. 803-0930, we come back. We're going to talk about we'll talk about driving. We'll also talk about the age limits. And should civilians have a log? We've limited the amount of hours that we're driving on the road. We're going to fall asleep in a Winnebago.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the program. Final segment. You know, Brian Masurowski joins us. You can hear him every morning with Susan Rose. It's a new morning with Brian and Susan. Brian is also a huge hockey fan. Brian, I want to talk to you about a phenomenon that happened. It seems to happen to Buffalo athletes, but we call someone by the name that they have gone by for 7 years, like Andrew Sequeira. And then he's traded to Carolina, and he's like, no, my name is actually Andrew Sequeira.
Yeah.
Like, why would you allow people to... It makes us look like we don't care about your name and we'll call you whatever the hell we damn please.
Talinder's the first
Talinder,
one, right?
Talinder.
So he was Talinder for, like, what, two seasons? And then right. The lockout happened and he came back and he was Talinder. And I was like, who's this Talinder guy? He's pretty good. And, oh, it's the same guy.
But it's almost disrespectful to the Buffalo Journal, the sports journalist here, that they would not, of course they asked how to pronounce the name. When the Bills draft someone, Sal Capaccio was finding out, how do I pronounce that name? I want to, you know, respect you by calling you by your name. You can't just change it.
I think it's a lot of, when it comes to hockey players, don't most of them have that attitude where it's, you know, oh, stay, you know, humble, whatever, you know, happy to be here and all that stuff. They don't want to correct somebody, but then I think what happens is they go to a new city, like, oh, what's your name? They do all of that, and, oh, it's pronounced, you know, Sequeira. Oh, never heard that before.
It also happened with the Buffalo Bill, though.
Tyrod
Taylor. That's what it was. It was Tyrod Taylor for years, and then he went to Cleveland, and he's like, please call me Tyrod.
By the way, he was Tyrod at Virginia Tech, too. So
he was Tyrod in San Diego.
Yeah.
He was Tyrod everywhere he went. He goes to Cleveland. He's like, I'm Tyrod. No one's ever asked me.
I put on him because you've had so much time here to say it's actually Tyrod. He goes to Cleveland. Oh, it's actually Tyrod. We would have said Tyrod.
Everyone would have called you by whatever you want to be called. Now, I find it disrespectful. When you go to a new city and you're like, hey, what are things? Well, you know, I'd like to play on the left side a little bit more. And my name is not Sequeira.
It should have been the first start, right? Though you have to, you know, you're Sequeira. You go over to Edmonton and you say, I want to leave the past behind me. I'm changing my name like Prince. I know that you can't really do that, for the record books. So just pronounce it completely differently.
Someone just texted in, every time the Penguins lose, you become crying Masurowski. Wow. That was really well done. That is this audience on a whole new level. Hey, Brian Masurowski, thank you so much. I appreciate you as always.
Hey, sure.
That's great. Great, great, great. Thank you for joining in. John and Lewiston, we're also talking about driving. The roads, the most dangerous people you could be behind. I think it's the Winnebago, 2 in the morning. Tony Caligiuri. By the way, Tony, someone said that they drove from Buffalo to Hollywood in 54 hours, and they did it at 60 years old.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I'd like to know what the timing is and how fast they were going.
I want to know what they were driving.
Exactly. In a 2005 minivan, Ford minivan.
I don't think so.
Right. What do you got, John?
Hey, you're talking about the bad drivers. Well, we were really, really disappointed in what you could do. My father-in-law was 77 years old. He had a truck, a boat trailer, and a towboat trailer.
John, I'm losing the connection, man. You're going to have to just call back in 2 seconds and let me get a better... You sound like Megatron right now, and I don't know what's happening, but I just saw Shia LaBeouf, and I'm scared. No, you just came in broken and distorted. So if you could just call back and we'll get to the bottom of whatever he has to say, because I'm sure it's wonderful. But any time a Canadian calls in and is like, on the topic of bad driving, I got to take a step back. Because the big cliche is that Canadians are the worst drivers in the world. That's what everyone says. I always thought the cliche of Canadians was when they're at the outlet mall, they take off all their clothes.
Yeah, and they leave all the trash at the mall.
Right.
And that's
jeans,
that's
pants,
the gallery
shirts.
As well.
What? They don't want to pay the duty?
That's what I always assumed.
What is the duty?
You know what happens?
Well,
Kramer, you know what duty? It's duty.
No, but what would the cost be that you would have to pay for that in taxes?
Well, I'm guessing what they do is they go and they do the layer thing that I do when I go to the airport, so I don't have to pay the checking fee for my clothes. So they've got, you know...
Wait. You wear multiple layers at the airport?
Well, on Spirit or Allegiant, when they started charging you for a carry-on, yeah, I wear everything I'm going to wear.
Everyone charges. I mean, most, maybe, what, two don't?
Not JetBlue. For carry-on.
Sure, yeah. Anything like over like American will charge you 25, Delta's 25.
That's right? For a check.
Oh, you're saying they charge you for the carry-on?
Yeah.
Well, then you're in a horrible airline.
Well, of course, but I like to save money. So right. What you do is you wear like four outfits.
Did you also have to land the plane for them?
Yeah, one time.
You gotta help with fuel? I'm sitting on the left side of the plane. I get to do the de-icing in Cleveland. I'm really excited about that.
But I'm guessing what they do is so they don't have to pay the extra tax because they get charged when they go over the border.
So you're saying that, okay, all right, I see what
you're saying.
Again,
I could be wrong, because you know what happens when you assume, but that's what I always thought.
I always thought, though, that if there's two, people say Canadians don't tip.
Yeah,
they
true.
Say Canadians are bad drivers. And then the clothes thing was always, I only saw that at the outlet mall and the American side, and there would just be a bunch of, you know, people with Ontario license plates taking their pants off and throwing them into the dumpster.
The tip thing is true. By the way, as someone who delivered pizzas for 14 years, the tip thing is true.
I think any time we're using stereotypes, it's a bad day. I mean, there's some Canadians that tip, of course.
Well, I know, but on average. I mean, I don't like to stereotype, but on average, if you're delivering
they're
somewhere...
They're bad
and you see
tippers or they don't tip at all?
They don't tip at all.
Well,
like a bad tip, I'll give you a pass, but literally counting pennies into my hand, so you pay the $54.54.
Have you ever tipped a hostess or a host?
I assume they all get tipped out.
Okay, but there are people that tip the people that bring them to the table.
Maybe I suck too.
Well, no, seriously. And they're thinking, wow, you don't trust people from Orchard Park. They don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
Maybe they're not accustomed to it. Tony, what do you think?
I could see that. You know, I remember working at a buffet in Vegas, and I don't recall the hostess ever being tipped. Usually it would be the waitress would get tipped, and then the waitress would tip us as the busboys. That's
so you're
usually
clean,
how that
you're
worked.
getting the table. That's...
Yeah, and there were waitresses that would not.
Right.
They wouldn't share the.
Were they
wouldn't share it.
Were they Canadian?
No. But here's, you know, and back to the Canadians and driving, as someone lives in Niagara Falls, look, just because they drive under the speed limit and they can't decide what lane they want to be in doesn't make them bad drivers.
Listen, I've actually discovered this. I was in Kosovo in the wintertime, and I had two guys in my battalion from Western New York, and they were the best Humvee drivers in those conditions. I mean, there's no guardrails. The roads are barely accessible. You can't tell what's a drift and what's a road. And these Buffalo kids were amazing Humvee drivers. You get a kid from the South behind a, you know, a Humvee or a Bradley fighting vehicle, any of those, it's dangerous. I mean, they really have no idea the snow, the weight, how to turn into a skid, when to hit the brakes, when never to hit the brakes, when you're losing control. I mean, it's scary. You really have to know what you're doing. Those tracked vehicles, you would think it's a tracked vehicle, but it's like if you lose the weight, you could totally flip it. You know, on a incline.
You know, it amazes me. I think learning how to drive when you're 16, 17, in winter, in Buffalo, in a sedan, prepares you for the best driving the rest of your life.
who didn't take the car out early on when they started driving in the winter to a Kmart parking lot or another parking lot and just do donuts?
And it was, listen, it was always Kmart. It's so funny. It didn't matter what. It was always, if you went to a Kmart at 2 o'clock in the morning, there was some idiot out there just burning out doing donuts.
It's still the Kmart parking lot. It was like the right lot.
Of, you know, in the, there's some like, you know, like the Pizza Hut parking lot is where all in the 90s you'd go and make out with a girl, or the Wendy's drive through is where you hung out and did, but Kmarts were only. Only for learning how to drive and doing donuts.
So kept them in business for so long.
There's a blue light special. There's a red light special out in the back. So actually, poor choice. Red light means something totally different.
I'd like to credit the Kmart. I've heard seen,
that was the. Making
me a there is no red light district.
That was the Pizza Hut parking lot.
That was the Pizza Hut. No, there have been accidents though from people just being idiots
hitting the handicapped parking sign.
Well, I was actually talking about the lights, the poles, because you know you lose, you know, you're spinning out, and they plow those things. Thank God, but you know sometimes they get a glaze, and they could be really dangerous. I've seen some people out here in Uniland, in the Corporate Parkway, some kids in the wintertime going crazy.
Oh yeah, they love to do donuts like, after 8 o'clock out there.
Exactly right, and it's open, and they're in the snow, and they're just peeling out.
What's your worst winter accident?
I mean, how many accidents do you have to rank them? Joe, if you're ranking your car accidents, I think that's a problem.
Have you ever skidded and hit a guardrail in the winter?
I've hit, not in the wintertime. Okay. No, I've hit a sign in the wintertime, and I hit a guardrail one time. But both times, I was nudged.
I had to get my mom's 2003 Ford Explorer towed from Ontario in my freshman year of college because I took it a little too quickly and slammed right in. And the first thing the guy that came and got my car said, "Oh, you're lucky to still be alive." He goes, "Right down there's where Tim Horton smashed his car."
Oh, yikes. Wow. That's horrible.
That was the line.
Yeah. And down the street from that is where Ryan O'Reilly got smashed into a Tim Hortons, which is totally unrelated. But that's a great way to join a new club, by the way. Hey, you're going to sign an extension? Sure am. Drive through is the front window. And like a 57 Chevy, too. He did it in like a beautiful car.
Oh, no, not a 57.
He did it like a classic car. Like he had a classic car and just drove straight into the restaurant. It was ridiculous. But I'd still take him on the Sabres. One of the things you talk about, though, is that if I hear that someone's been in multiple car accidents, it's a judgment on them.
I have not been in multiple car accidents. If
you're talking to someone and they're like, "How many head-on collisions have you been in?" And I'm like, 12. You'd be like, "What the hell's wrong with you? Like, you're not functioning as a human being. If you're in more than five car accidents, and I don't care if you're hit by them, if you're a passenger in them, there are some lifestyle decisions that need to be made."
I think it also depends how much you drive.
Five major car accidents?
I mean, I have not been in five.
How many cars have you totaled?
I've totaled zero cars.
How many cars have you totaled?
Zero.
Okay, so right there tells you that you can be in multiple accidents and not total a car.
Exactly.
If you've totaled more than five, I'll tell you what Geico would say. Geico's going to be like, "Hey, go find another insurance carrier. You've totaled five cars." I mean, seriously, that's a lot.
Maybe start taking the bus.
Seriously, though.
Call
like,
Uber.
If you love your children, you're going to do anything for your children, right?
Absolutely.
If you have a child that's been in like two major car accidents by like 19.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not letting you. We're going to have to get some corrective action here.
I remember my very first winter driving, I got into an accident with my dad's 65 Pontiac Catalina. That thing was a boat. And trying to judge sliding wasn't easy. So I bumped it. Wasn't a major accident. I bumped it.
If you have like a Grand Marquis or one of those really like Delta 88s, the really
I had a Delta 88, 72.
Right. You could get in a car accident with that thing and not even know it happened. Like you could hit a deer and the car is so big and it's heavy. And those things are surprisingly fast. Like you're in one of those vessels with an anchor on them. and you're going 90 miles an hour without even really acknowledging it. It's a smooth, floating ride, and you could whack something and not even know.
Well, we called mine the UFO, Unidentified Flying Oldsmobile. It had a 455 big block with a Holley 650 double pumper. That car could burn rubber for blocks, and it flew.
Let me just get the UN translation of that. What was that? What did he just say?
Yeah, unidentified flying Oldsmobile.
No, I'm talking about the double pumper.
Oh,
the
Holley 650 double pumper. It's a carburetor.
Carburetor.
Yeah, I mean, it puts a lot of gasoline into the engine.
Car talk is way out, as Tony knows.
He just could have. I got the Wankel rotary in there, and it's about 25 carbs, and it goes through the dilobiter and. Yeah, smooth, easy. What the? I had no idea what he was. He might as well be describing the step by step of how to do open heart. And I was like, huh? The thorax? What is that? I've never driven a thorax.
We'll have to check the flux capacitor. The flux capacitor.
Listen, I'm telling you that those old school Volvos, like you saw a lot back in the day when the cars had actual girth to them, and you know, back when there was steel and it was aluminum,
full
and,
frames.
Yeah, like the DeLorean, but like Volvos were the car to have in Western New York in the wintertime because that thing was built like a tank. I mean, you could just, you know, the survivability, and then the crush. They started to design the newer cars where they crush in and just protect you in like a little pod, you know. But in the old days, that was the frame of the car that did
sure.
It. You have roll bars.
Yeah, and metal. Full
and metal. Full metal. Full metal roll bars. But when I, to this day, to me, it's when I'm driving behind a Winnebago and it's like early in the morning, I'm freaked out. Matter of fact, any time I find myself on the road after midnight, I am more alert and freaked out because I don't know, you know, especially on the thruway. Someone goes through, you hear these stories about people going the wrong way. There is a lot of panic that goes through your head. When you see headlights on the thruway.
Oh. Did somebody do that on Grand Island not too long ago?
That is just like, whoa. I mean, listen, I understand. You made a mistake, you're whatever the case may be. But if you're that out of it that you don't realize that you're, it's in 2020, there's a lot of things that are difficult to understand. People call me this pronoun. What bathroom do I use? But in 2020, we've established what direction we're driving in the United States, right? I mean, that's not a confusion. There's no roadway in New York State that's confusing.
And there's another thing where age comes into effect when you get confused. And I believe the accident on the Grand Island Bridge was somebody that was confused.
Oh, it's horrible, horrible. And then, of course, you know, hopefully it doesn't result in an accident. But, you know, how do you're shining your lights. That's horrifying. But in the late at night, like New Year's Eve is probably the worst time to be on the roads. If you could not drive on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
After a Bills game.
Yep.
You know, all that craziness. People drinking, thinking they're ready, but they're not. But the Winnebago falling asleep, that's another thing you got to worry about.
How about the driver in the wintertime? And I think somebody brought it up earlier that does not clean off their car. You know, they're driving. You got nothing but a snowstorm coming off their car. They can't see.
Right.
I hit the brake. Go ahead.
Oh, you're talking about the fake scratchers of the ice?
They may put one thing with the snow brush if they do that.
Listen, we are very liberal when it comes to the what we can see out of our windows.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people. I understand you park outside. It's a pain in the neck to scratch your car or to start it up or do whatever, but at least work with me. Give me 10 minutes of the heat on something.
Wake up a little bit earlier.
You can't just roll out with like a little hole, it's a peephole that you're driving through. You're basically driving with a periscope.
And the, the half foot of snow on top of your car.
Right.
That's now in my windshield.
That goes flying off.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Sometimes those tractor trailers help you if you run out of windshield wiper fluid.
Oh.
Get behind one.
100%.
And just use that little slush to get the windows clear.
It's better
unless
than what I do.
A sheet of snow that comes off and comes after you. That's scary, too.
I think that, by the way, I think that also stages in the people that don't brush their teeth in the morning but smoke a menthol cigarette.
Yeah.
That's the same level of go get 'em attitude.
There'll be times when I'm out
using
of
using truck slush to wash your car.
Truck slush or whatever in my water bottle.
I put coffee on my windshield. I put water on my windshield. I've done Gatorade on the windshield. Whatever it takes. If you're out of fluid, sometimes it freezes too. The line freezes.
Oh yeah,
it's not your fault. But you know, you
sometimes the water that you put out your water bottle freezes too.
You've thrown coffee at your car, don't
you?
No. Oh, stop!
I'll get out. I will scrape because I know you don't put hot fluid on a cold windshield.
This is I didn't say I was intelligent. I said I did it.
I'm just
being honest. There goes that actually happens a lot too. Crack that, especially when you get you put a little bit of hip and elbow in there and you smash your windshield.
Better call Safe Flight.
All right, Adolph, that was it. That's the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Mixing it up, having good talk. No disrespect to our Canadian drivers. We defended you. Prejudice is always horrible. Clichés never work out. Thank you for your time, your efforts. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Same thing.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.